I'm glad you're here tonight. I'd whole much rather preach to a bunch of people than empty chairs. I was thinking as Brother Brian was giving the announcements, how little the Lord really demands of us. This verse came to my mind in Micah. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. You know, the Lord really doesn't require all that much of us. And that which He requires of us is reasonable. His commandments are reasonable. Isn't it reasonable for God to tell us not to lie? Isn't it reasonable of God to exhort us not to commit adultery and not to steal? Isn't it reasonable of God to expect of us to honor our fathers and our mothers? Isn't it reasonable of God to demand of us that we not take His name in vain and that we set aside time for Him? What is it that the Lord requires of thee but to do justly? Love mercy. This is our reasonable service. A little bit of time. What do we actually give to God? 2 hours on Sunday? Maybe 3 hours on Sunday? A couple hours on Wednesday night? 5 hours in a 7-day period? Is this too much of, is God is demanding too much from us? Maybe twice a year, a 2-week meeting or a 1-week meeting that God requires 2 hours a night? I would think all these things are reasonable. Look, if you will, tonight in 2 Peter in chapter 2. 2 Peter in chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Are you convinced tonight that you are right? Has God convinced you that you have the truth? Has it ever dawned on you that everybody believes they're right? Everybody's convinced that their way is the correct way. I'd like to show you tonight one of the ways that God has given us that we might know the truth. Many times when we go to preach the gospel, I've heard this time and time again. People have said to me, well, how am I supposed to know what religion is true and what is the true way? After all, you say one thing, the priest says another, the Jehovah's Witnesses say another, and the Mormons, after all, there's so many religions. How in the world am I to know the true way? And then there's one extreme. The other extreme is, well, no, all the religions are correct. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to heaven. That's not true. Old Norm will not get you to Rome. Callahan will not take you to Rome. Follow Banderas, Falls will go, it will not get you to Rome. It's a lie. And people have been deceived. And Peter here says there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon them swift destruction. I'd like to say tonight the first thing, in order not to be deceived, is to recognize there are deceivers. If you close your eyes to deception, you will be deceived. If you tell yourself, no, everybody's a good person, everybody, as they say in Spanish, cada quien, everybody to his own, to each his own, they say in English. As long as you maintain that attitude, you are a prime suspect for being deceived. There are many deceivers. All roads do not lead to Rome. Look, if you will, in Matthew in chapter 7. Is anybody getting revived? The only way you're going to convince me of that, if you shout some hallelujahs and amens every once in a while. If you don't, I'm going to be convinced that you're dead in doornails. And I'm going to hook up that plow again and do some more plowing. Matthew and amen! Amen. Pitiful. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, my Bible says, Jesus Christ said, God in the flesh, that man that they call Emmanuel, God with us, said, enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. My Bible says that there are deceivers. Jesus said, beware of false prophets, which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. My Bible says that many will be deceived. And how is it there are so many people that are convinced that it doesn't matter which religion you belong to, just as long as you belong to a religion. It doesn't matter how you worship God, what's really important is sincerity. But my Bible says there are many people that have been deceived. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. Many there will be that go in thereat in the way of destruction. Many! I know of Catholic people that are convinced that their religion is right because they have the majority. It's as if God was somehow running an election. No, if I read my Bible right, if you are in the majority, it would behoove you to run and flee from the majority because there are few that are going to follow Christ. There was 12 disciples that dared to follow him, and one of them was a devil from the very beginning. There will not be many that follow Jesus. There will be few that follow him. The many are the false prophets. The many are the false religions. Oh, my friend, the majority is usually wrong. The majority voted in Bill Clinton. The majority is generally wrong. You better be careful if you're walking with majority. I wrote some things down. I'd like just to read them to you. Just a few scriptures. The Bible says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 John 4:1. For many deceivers are into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. 2 John 7. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. Titus chapter 1 and verse 11. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transferring themselves into apostles of Christ, and no marvel. For Satan himself is transfigured into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Many deceive us. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and deceive many. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall receive the very elect. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and indeed being deceived. And these are but just a few. No, my friend, there is an admonition in the scriptures to beware of false prophets. As if the false prophets are all about us, we should beware. They are after you. They wish to damn your soul. They have been deceived and they are deceiving, says the scriptures. There are no limits to their deception. They are what they say in Spanish, sin vergüenza. They are without shame, without pain to their souls. They would lie to you as if they were telling the truth. Some do it so. Sincerely. And others do it by the mere fact that they want to deceive you. They desire. They have other motives. I remember as a young boy, salesmen would come along, and up north we have a double doors. You have what we would call your screen door, your aluminum door, with a little screen on it, and then you'd have your big wooden door because it gets cold up there in the wintertime. Double windows, double doors. And these aluminum doors would get tarnished after time, and they're a bear to clean. You try to clean them things, it's just hard to do. It's like cleaning silver. And this salesman come along, and he'd knock on doors, and he'd offer a solution to clean your door. And he'd get the lady out there, or the man, or the young person, and begin showing them, well, just let me demonstrate. And he'd pour a little of this solution into a cup, and he would take a rag and get his little rag wet, and he would just gently wipe on that aluminum door. And it would shine, just as slick as could be. And that lady or that man would get their eyes get big like that and say, wow, this is great stuff. Hey, can you do that again? Yeah, sure, you do a little other one over here. This is great. How much? $5 a bottle. Give me two or three of those things. And they'd buy it and more, and the salesman would go off down the road. And they'd get their rag out. They'd put a little bit of solution in there. They'd follow the directions. They'd dip their rag in there. Nothing. Well, maybe I didn't do it right. Let me try that again. They'd read the directions again. They'd pour it in there. They'd get their rag wet. And then what? Nothing. Well, maybe I'm using the wrong type of rag. Let me get another rag. They would try and try and try, but they'd been deceived. They had paid $5 for a little bottle of water. $5 for a little bottle of water had been tinted. They'd been deceived. What did they lose? They lost $5. Some lost more, some less. But I tell you, my friend, tonight, there are millions upon millions of people that are not losing $5. They are losing their souls. They have been deceived. My Bible says that they will do great signs and wonders so they can deceive you. I've had them tell me, no, I know this is true because this preacher, he put his hands on that person. He threw down his crutches and the man got up and he was able to walk. No. I know this is true because I saw it on TV. I bet you believe in Batman too, don't you? Superman, Spider-Man, I bet you believe in all of them comic characters. Deceived. But we're not talking about losing some money or losing some land or losing your home or losing your saving account. We're talking about people losing their soul. My Bible says in the book of Isaiah, they said, is this the man? Talking about Satan. Is this the one to deceive the nations? Some said, no, our religion has to be true because we saw an angel. The Mormons and the Catholics alike. Well, my Bible says that Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light that he might deceive. Look, if you will, in 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. Do you want to know the truth? Beware of deceivers. Verses 3 and 4. Paul said, but I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye have received another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Let me tell you something, my friend. These deceivers are wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. They're not going to come up to your door and say, hi, I'm your local deceiver. I come by to deceive you. I wish you'd just give me 5 minutes of your time. No, they come by your door and they say, I'm concerned for you. How many young ladies have been deceived by young men that have said, I love you and I have your intentions in my good intentions in my heart. Why don't you prove the sincerity of your love for me? And the next thing you know, the young man's back at school bragging to all his buddies how he got this young lady and she's sitting there with a unwanted baby. Deceived by persuasive words. Deceived by a feeling. Deceived by emotions. These false prophets are experts in deception. And you must beware, my Bible says. Are you aware? They preach another Jesus. They don't preach the Jesus of the Bible. They preach another Jesus. Their Jesus is a piece of bread that you can put in your mouth and chew. Their Jesus is a Jesus still hanging on the cross. Their Jesus has painted eyes that cannot see, hands that cannot feel, feet that cannot walk. Their Jesus they put about their neck. Their Jesus they hang on a wall. Their Jesus a picture. Their Jesus is not our risen Savior. Amen. Their Jesus is not Alpha and Omega. Their Jesus was only born of a woman, created of a woman. Or their Jesus is just an angel. Hello, Dr. Russell. No, their Jesus was kin to the devil. They were brothers, but because Jesus lived a better life, he was able to become God. Hello, Mr. Mormon. They preach another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit, and my Bible says you're to beware of them. Right. Do not be so simple as to believe everybody. The Bible says, prove all things and hold fast that which is true. Look back in our text. In 2 Peter in chapter 2, even denying the Lord that bought them, and many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even spoken of. They will deny the Lord that bought them. Now, how are they going to do that? They will honor Him with their lips, but deny them with their actions. Amen. Professing to know God, but in works they deny Him. Look, if you will, in Mark in chapter 6. Mark in chapter 7, excuse me, in verse 6. Well, hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites? As is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye call the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Koran, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free, and ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. They honor God with their lips, but they deny the word of God with their actions and with their traditions. Yes, they say, we believe the Bible, and yet they insist on calling the priest father, and Jesus said, call no man father upon the earth. Yes, they say, we believe the Bible, and yet they hang the images up in their homes, and they carry them about their necks, when the Bible says, you're not to make unto thee any graven image. They deny the Lord that bought them. And at the same time, they say they believe in Him. You ask any religious person, who is it that forgives you of your sins? And every one of them will confess, yes, it's God that forgiveth. And yet when they desire forgiveness of sins, where is it that they go to get forgiven? They go not to God. They make no confession unto Jesus Christ. They run to a priest. Or they run to a baptismal tank. Or they run to a pastor. They all look for forgiveness everywhere but Jesus. I've gone to masses in my lifetime, not as a Catholic, but as a preacher. Just to listen. Just to hear what they had to say. And at every mass I went to, the scriptures were read. Every one. Every time the priest said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. They were reading truth. But everyone out there in that congregation was deceived. They were reading the scriptures. But not one of them believed the scriptures. They heard the truth, but they denied it. Who is the Lamb of God but Jesus? Isn't Jesus the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world?
Amen.
Isn't Jesus the very Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world?
Amen.
And why is it that they take their children to the temple to be baptized? Why the contradiction? Because they don't believe Jesus takes away sin. They believe that the sacrament of baptism takes away sin. Some of you here tonight believe the same thing, don't you? You believe because you got baptized that you're all right. But the Bible nowhere says that baptism cleanses you. The Bible says it's Jesus Christ that taketh away the sins of the world. The Bible says it's the blood of Christ that cleanses us. The Bible says we're cleansed through His word. No, I can tell you tonight that one way to know a false prophet is their denial of the word of God. They will deny the scriptures. Have you ever looked at people going to church? How many people go to church without a Bible in their hand? Have you ever noticed how many people are convinced, 150% convinced that their religion is true, but they've never read the Word of God one time in their entire life? Look at the will in 1 Peter and chapter 4. And verse 11 it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. My Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. In other words, they are supposed to speak according to the Word of God. They're not supposed to speak according to their education. They're not supposed to speak according to their tradition. They're supposed to speak according to the Word of God, according to the oracles of God, according to the commandments of God. I would ask you tonight, what do you believe and what is it based on? Is your faith based upon convincing arguments, persuasive words, your daddy's religion, or this is the way we've always been? Or is your faith based on the Word of God?
My Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Right.
How many times has a Jehovah's Witness knocked on my door, or a Mormon, and they said, "Sir, we'd like to talk to you about the Word of God." Come right in. I like to talk about the Word of God. Come right in. Sit down right here. You can have my easy chair. You can sit here in my couch. Let's talk about the Word of God. And what do they open? A Bible? They don't open the Bible. They open a watchtower. And I say, "Excuse me, ma'am, excuse me. Didn't you say that we were going to study the Word of God?" "Well, yes." "Well, I'd be more than happy to study the Word of God, but where is it?" "Well, we're going to study it right here." "But excuse me, ma'am, that's not a Bible." "No, but this magazine talks about the Bible." "I don't want to talk about the Bible. I want to see the Bible." One of the first questions I ask them when they come to my door, "Let me ask you something. You come here to teach me something?" "You bet." "You have the truth?" "Oh, yes, we've got the truth." "Let me ask you one simple question. Have you read the Bible?" "Oh, yes, we read the Bible." "That's not what I asked you. Have you read the Bible?" Well, we study the Bible." "No, but have you read the Bible? Have you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation?" "Well, I'm almost done." "Well, I'm glad. How long have you been in this religion, by the way?" 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, 5 years, 7 years, 3 years, 1 year. Varying responses, but the same answer every time. "No, I haven't read the Bible through yet." And I write that down. Why? Because these people are the father, the devil, and they're liars. You may not realize it, but I realize it. And I write that down. And then they begin to explain to me. They begin blaspheming my God. They begin calling my Lord and Savior, God Almighty in flesh, Jesus Christ. They begin saying He's but a man and not God. They begin dishonoring Him. "He that denieth the Son denieth the Father," my Bible says.
That's right.
And they declare boldly that He is not the Father, and the Father is not in Him. "No, He is not the Father. But my Bible says, yes, He and the Father are one."
Amen.
And you know what they say? "That's not in the Bible, what you're saying." "Well, how in the world would you know if you ain't never read the Bible?"
"That's right."
"No, that's not in the Bible." "Oh, yes, it is. All the verses you ain't got to yet is where it says that Jesus is God." "Huh? But you would never know because you're in the same place they are. You haven't read the Bible either." "Oh, amen, Brother Brent." "Have you read the Bible?" "You would criticize a Catholic for following the Pope. Who are you following?" "You would criticize a Jehovah's Witness for following a magazine or a book or the Book of Mormon or whatever. But what are you following? Have you been convinced by the Word of God?" Perhaps this is why there is no revival. Revival requires faith. And faith comes by hearing the Word of God. If you are not filled with the Word of God, there will be no revival.
Amen.
How do you expect to be spiritually strong if all you eat is the husk of this world? How do you have the strength? How do you expect to have the strength to overcome this world and overcome the flesh? If you fill your mind with television and radio and this world, and there's no eating of the precious Word of God. No, my friend, a false prophet doesn't want anything to do with the Bible. I remember one time preaching the Ten Commandments out in the street. I had my Bible, and I was preaching the Second Commandment. "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Thou shalt not bow down unto them, nor honor them." This lady come out, boy, she was upset. She come out there, she was mad. She was bigger than me, too. I thought she would fall off and hit me or something. She says, "You're lying! You're not telling the truth!" "No, ma'am, you can look right here. I have it in my Bible. You can look right here." No. "You wrote your own Bible." "Okay, ma'am, I understand. Do you have a Bible?" "Oh, yes, I have a Bible." "Well, I'm glad. Why don't you go get your Bible?" "Well, that's just what I'm going to do." And she stomped off and went to her house. And she come out with one of them big mamas. I'm talking about one of them big Bibles. And she come out with that big old Bible. "Now!" And had a big old picture of the Virgin right on the first front page. "This is the Holy Bible." "All right, ma'am, do you believe this Bible?" "Oh, yes, this is the Holy Catholic Bible. This Bible's true." All right, let's find out. Open that old Bible. Open that old Bible. Over to Exodus chapter 20, and I read it out of her Bible.
Amen.
Now, what do you think she did? You know what she did, don't you?
Yeah.
She said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, brother. I was really mistaken." She did not. She grabbed that big Bible, slammed it shut, and then she said, "If that's what the Bible says, I don't believe the Bible. I believe my virgin." And that's what I've been preaching about for the last three or four nights. The wickedness of man. And they'll deny the Lord that bought them. Look, if you will, in the book of Jude. The book of Jude. And verse 3. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints." And there are
people out there will deny the Lord in order to hold on to their tradition. If you don't press them, if you don't hold their feet to the fire, if you don't open up the scriptures and expose them for what they are, they will with feigned words deceive you and convince you they're of God. They have all the right answers. They know all the pretty words. They all know all the cliches. But when you open up the Word of God and begin exposing their heart, you find out what they really are. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. What do we preach? Paul said we preach Christ and Him crucified. We don't preach a denomination. We don't preach a religion. We don't preach tradition. We preach Christ and Him crucified. But you know what I notice about these false prophets? They don't want to hear about Christ and His Word. They want to hear about their religion, their saint, their priest, their pastor, their doctrine, their beliefs. They do not want to hear about Jesus Christ. And you mark it down, my friend, when someone is afraid to hear about Jesus Christ, they're a false prophet.
Amen.
How are we going to know who are the false prophets? First of all, there's many of them. Second of all, the false prophets, they flee from Christ. They don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. They don't want to talk about Him. That is not their theme. Although the Bible says in the volume of the book, it is written of me. The theme of the Bible is not the Virgin Mary. It's not Peter. It's not Paul. It's not any of the saints. The theme of the Bible is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's not ourselves. It's not our ministry. It's not our method. It's not our way. Jesus is the way. It's not our truth. Jesus is the truth. It's not our life. Jesus is the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Somebody would say, and I had many a person tell me this in Mexico, I would be arguing with them. I'd say, "Well, just look at the Word of God." "I'm sorry, I can't read." Most frustrating thing in the world, trying to deal with these people. Because what authority do I have outside of the Scriptures? I have no authority. I only have the Word of God, and if they can't read it, how am I going to convince them? How am I going to show them the truth? One day, God had mercy and showed me something out of the Scriptures. Look, if you will, back in Matthew in chapter 7. There's a way to know. Chapter 7 and verse 15. "Beware false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them." How? "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them." It came to me. And I was speaking to an elderly man. He said, "You just don't understand. I never learned how to read. How am I supposed to know? You're telling me you're reading the Bible? The priest tells me he's reading the Bible. You're telling me you read the Bible? The JWs tell me they're reading the Bible. You tell me you're reading the Bible? The Mormons tell me they're reading the Bible. How am I supposed to know?" He was an old farmer. And I asked him, I said, "Sir, is that a fruit-bearing tree or not?" "No, that's not a fruit-bearing tree." "Sir, can you tell the difference between good fruit and evil fruit? Good fruit and bad fruit?" "Oh, yeah. I can tell." "All right. Be sincere with yourself. Is the religion you're in bearing good fruit or evil fruit?" Now, to show how wicked man is, instead of being honest, you know what he said? "Well, you gotta understand, you Protestants, you also live an evil life." He knew exactly what kind of fruit his religion was bearing. He knew exactly what kind of tree it was. And what did he say? "Well, that tree over there is also evil." What is that to me?
Hey, the whole forest is filled with evil trees. What is that to thee?
You better find the tree that's bearing good fruit.
Amen.
You better not stay in a religion that bears not good fruit. Did you notice what Jesus said here? A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Look at the will in John in chapter 15. In verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them in the fire and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Those that are of God are going to bear the fruit of the Spirit of God. Those that are of God are going to bear good fruit. Those that are not of God are going to bear evil fruit.
Amen.
How is it you do not understand my words? Is it because your heart is wicked? Is it because that you refuse to come to the light that your works be not reproved? Is it because your heart is rebellious and calloused and indifferent to the things of God? My Bible says if you be in Christ, you're a new creature.
Amen.
Look at it real quickly in Galatians in chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. You say that you're of God, but your life continues in the same old path, the same old bitterness, the same old fights, the same old cursing, the same old drinking, the same old carousing, the same old lying, the same old life. I would dare say to you, you must be born again.
Amen.
You must be made anew. The axe must be laid to the root of the trees. When God saves a soul, that soul is changed. That life is changed. And if that life is not changed, it is a false life. It is a lie. Prove them. Test them. The Bible says a good tree bringeth forth good fruit. If they're of God, they're going to bring forth good fruit. If they're not of God, they'll bring forth evil fruit. Three things. There's many false prophets. False prophets will deny Christ and deny the Word of God. And false prophets will bear forth evil fruit. Somebody said, but our religion is so great and so beautiful. And our religion is the oldest. It has to be the truth. I told one man, I said, for no other reason, I know the Catholic Church is not the Church of God. Well, how do you know that? Because they came to Mexico and murdered thousands upon thousands of people, and no murderers of God. Yeah, but I know a Protestant that's a murderer. As I said, no murderers of God. Yeah, but I know a Jehovah's Witness. Well, my friend, you're condemning them all. When are you going to find Christ? You've excluded the Catholics, you've excluded the Protestants. You're knocking down the Jehovah's Witnesses. Go ahead and speak of the Mormons and all the rest of the religions. Islam is not of God. Buddhism is not of God. If you would examine their lives, you would know that they are not celibate priests. Not in Buddhism. Not in Islam. Not in Protestantism. Not in Catholicism. No, their lives are wicked. Bearing testimony of who they are. When God saves a soul, that life changes. It's getting awful quiet in here. Has your life changed? Maybe you're one of those pretenders. Maybe you're one of those churchgoers. Outwardly, yes, but inwardly, no. On Sunday morning, you appear to be, but you bear no fruit. My Bible says nothing counts except for a new creature. That's what God counts. Now, there's one little thing I'd like to show you back in our text in 2 Peter in chapter 2. There's one other way to know the false prophets, to know that he that is of God and he that is not of God. And many shall fall in verse 2, says their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness they shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and the damnation slumbereth not. There's another way to know. The false prophet is more interested in your pocketbook than your soul.
How many times has the false prophet knocked on the door and said, "Now, brother so-and-so, you're missing your tithe. We noticed that you have not tithed in 3 weeks. A month has gone by and you have not tithed." Didn't Jesus go into the temple, seeing them making merchandise of things? Didn't he get mad and make a scourge? Did he not overturn the tables and cast them all out? Did he not accuse them of making his father's house a den of thieves? Religious thieves. Do you know what a JW wants to do? He's not all concerned about converting you. He's concerned about selling you a little booklet. Do you think a Mormon is really concerned about your soul? Concerned about your eternal destiny? You know how long their missionaries serve? 2 years. Very few Mormon missionaries want to tangle with us. You know why? We sit them down in the home. There we are. And we ask them a question, "Sir, how long are you going to serve?" 2 years. I said, "Ma'am, this man says he cares for your soul. He's concerned about you. But in 2 years, he's going to be gone. What's he going to be doing?" I had a Mormon accuse him of that. I said, "Sir, you're not being sincere. You're going to fulfill your 2 years and you're going to return the way you were living. You're going to put in your service to God and you think you've done God's service and then you're going to return right back the way you was living." You know what happened? 3 years later, sure enough, there he was. We met him in Aguas Calientes. It's amazing, these Mormons are all named, every one of them is named Elder.
Yeah.
I said, "What's your name, Elder Jones? What's your name, Elder Smith?" Amazing. You know what I was preaching, Joe and I, or maybe it was Bill and I preaching downtown? This young man comes up to me and says, "You don't know me, do you?" I said, "No. I'm so-and-so." And his name, it didn't ring a bell. "I'm Elder so-and-so." "Oh, I remember you. What are you doing?" "No, I'm fixing to get married." Begin talking to his girlfriend, Catholic. "What am I saying?" "I'm saying you better be careful of a religion that wants your money."
Right.
"You better be careful of people on TV and on radio that are after your money. You better be careful of somebody that's offering you forgiveness of sins, but only comes after you put money in the pot."
Amen.
Do you realize there are Catholics tonight that cannot have their children baptized unless they pay the priest? That baptism requires a price. Do you realize there are Catholics tonight that cannot get married unless the priest has been paid beforehand? Even though they believe these things are necessary, they come with a price. And I want you to know something. God is not after gold and silver.
Right.
He cares not for these things.
Amen.
God is after your soul.
Amen.
And a true prophet of God, a true preacher of God, a true priest of God, a true minister of God is not going to be after your pocketbook. He's going to be concerned about the welfare of your soul.
Amen.
My Bible says these false prophets will make merchandise of you. Look, if you will, in Romans in chapter 16. And verse 18, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." They're not in service of the Lord. They're looking to satisfy themselves. How much wealth they can get. How their stomach can be filled. They're not in the service of God, they're in the service of their belly. Wasn't it Paul that said, "Whose God is their belly?" Four things tonight that we've seen in the scriptures. The false prophets, there are many of them. Beware. The false prophets deny the word of God. They do not base their faith upon the word of God. It's based upon tradition. The false prophet bears evil fruits, and he does not bear good fruit. And the false prophet is after your pocketbook. And you know what I look out in this world? I see a multitude of false prophets. I knock on doors every day. The JW has already been there. The Catholics already been there. The false prophets have already been there. The light of the world, Luz del Mundo, a Mexican sect. They've already been there. Where are those that will stand for righteousness? Where are the truth prophets? Do you have the truth?
Amen.
Do you have the truth?
Amen.
Have you been saved?
Amen.
Do you know that you've been saved?
Amen.
Are you convinced that you've been saved?
Amen.
Do you know that the word of God is true?
Amen.
What are you doing about it?
Amen.
My Bible says whose mouths must be stopped. Who's stopping their mouth? Matthew in chapter 5 and verse 13. Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Brothers and sisters, we need some men and women of God that will stand for Jesus Christ. Amen. That they will boldly proclaim the truth of the Word of God. That they will boldly proclaim the Word of God in the job, on the job, in the home, with their neighbors. We need somebody to stand on a hill and say, this is the way. Jesus is the way.
Amen.
These people are burdened. These people have been deceived. Does that not hurt you? Does that not make your heart groan? And care for them? Are you not concerned about their souls? They have been lied to. Many are sincere. They desire to have what you have and to know what you know. But they're blind and they cannot see. And when somebody touches them on the head and they say, follow me, I'll lead you. They know not that their guides are blind. We need you to stand for Jesus. We need you to boldly open your mouth and preach the gospel in your neighborhood. We need you to stand up for Jesus where you work. We need you to be a bright and shining light. Look if you will in Mark in chapter 8, verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him and his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the gospels, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. He spoke these words unto the multitudes and his disciples. This applies to the lost, and this applies to the church. This applies to those that know not God. This applies to those that know him intimately. This applies to you and I. Peter denied the Lord. He had an opportunity to bear witness. But for whatever reason, depression, self-pity, lack of faith, tiredness, occupied, whatever reason, for some reason, he denied the Lord. Cursing came out of his mouth. Have you denied the Lord? Do you turn away from opportunities to witness for the Lord? You want revival? Do you want to see fruit? Lost soul saved? I can't talk to everybody. There's just no way. I'd like to be in Mexico, and I'd like to be in Poland, and I'd like to be here, and I'd like to be everywhere. There's just no way that I can do it. There's no way that Brother Brian can do it by himself. There's no way that Brother Lindell can do it or Brother Steve. There's no way! You have to do your part.
Amen.
In your circle of influence, you have to stand up and say, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Suffering, whatever the consequences may be, you will be persecuted. You will suffer reproach. Are you greater than the Master? Or are you one of those that wishes to hide your light underneath the bed? We need some people to stand up for Jesus.
Amen.
You say, well, I might fall. Let me tell you something. I'm going to give you a promise. You are going to fall. There's no biting about it. I guarantee it. You're going to stumble and you're going to fall and you're going to fail. But if you're of God, you'll get up and you'll go again.
Amen.
Don't get the mistaken notion that if you're really revived, you'll never fall. No, you will fall. It's a promise. You're going to fall. But a righteous man falls seven times and seven times he rises up again.
Amen.
You're going to make mistakes. You're going to be foolish. You're going to be overzealous at times. You're going to be ashamed at times. You're going to do some stupid things, yes. But by your humility and by recognizing your error and still standing for Jesus, they'll be convinced that Jesus is in you. This world is looking for somebody sincere and truthful. They're tired of hypocrisy. Listen to them. Have you heard them? Why should I go to church? A bunch of hypocrites down there. They're tired of it. They're fed up with religion. They're fed up with people after their pocketbook. They're fed up with people looking for their money. They're fed up with people that are not concerned about their souls. Can you now hear their cry? Cares not that we perish. Can you not hear their cry? Can you not see their miserable lives? They're not happy. They're not happy. They're burdened. They need medical attention. There's only one good doctor.
That's right.
Amen. Dr. Jesus.
Amen.
They need a pastor. And there's only one good pastor. One good shepherd. Jesus. I'm not saying that you have to go to Poland. I'm not saying that you have to go to Mexico. I'm not even saying that you have to necessarily go out in the streets and preach the gospel like we do. But I am saying that you should stand up where you're at and say, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. God save my soul. God change my life. And enough of you would do that in your jobs and in your neighborhood and with your friends and your family, we would see revival. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words, there it is again, of him and his words. In this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. You parents, have you ever gotten a phone call from your teacher? Mrs. Jones, this is Mrs. Johnson from the school. Your boy or your daughter, it's not that you reject your child, but they shamed you. They embarrassed you. It's not that you're going to kick your child out and say, you're never going to come into my home again. But they embarrassed you by their actions. Have you embarrassed your Heavenly Father? How many people want revival? What is it? What are we talking about revival? We're talking about seeing souls saved. We're talking about bearing fruit. Are you willing to stand for Jesus? Is there anybody here willing to stand for Jesus? Stand up! Stand up for Jesus! Are you willing to make a commitment and say, God, I know that I'm weak. I know that I'm fragile. I know that I'm scared and I'm afraid. Lord, I don't know that I can do it. But by your mercy and by your grace, I'm going to stand for you.
Amen.
I'm going to open my mouth and say, I am a Christian. I'm going to stand against false doctrine. And if I had to say it, there's nothing that I know but this one thing I do know. I was born blind, but now I see. I may not be able to convince them with all the arguments, but I'm going to be a shining light. Is there anybody here tonight that would say yes? Say yes, God's touched me. Show your boldness now.